Blog Talk Radio.
I believe it, I believe it, I believe it.
Thank you.
I still have a praise inside of me. Glory to God. All I've been through, I still have a praise inside of me. We just thank God. We praise God for this morning, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad as the Lord has allowed us to enter into this day that we have never seen before. And surely we will never ever see this day again. But for that very reason, we are praising him because there are many that have not made it in today. Many were here yesterday. They were walking around, driving around, even went to the beach and swim in the water. But today, they are no longer here. They have crossed over into another dimension. But we thank God and we praise God for he has given us another opportunity to get right what we didn't get right yesterday. And now we are asking God to bless us with anointed word from this woman of God, this chosen vessel of God, as she come forth this morning, that God would use her tongue, he would use her eyes, and he would use her ears to glorify his name, to edify his body, and to terrify the enemy Satan. Without any further ado, I introduce to some, but I present to all, Apostle Claire. Come on in let the Lord use you.
Good morning.
I am going on mute.
Everybody on this morning. Well, let's thank and praise God for this day which the Lord has made. And all of those who are saved on this day, the Lord will rejoice and be glad in the decision that you made to come forward. So we give glory, honor, and praise, and we thank the Lord for being who the Lord is, and that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, that the Lord is always here. The Lord is always with us. And in a readiness to do on our behalf what needs to be done. So we give glory, honor, and praise, and we just thank God for being God all by God's self. And on this morning, I am asking that if you have an ear to hear, that we all tune in, that the Lord further open the door to our understanding, that we are able to receive this teaching on today, that we can continue in well-doing and well-being and further have an understanding. Today's lesson is titled, What Kind of Race Are You Running? What kind of race are you running? Glory to God. And if you have to really, really stop and think about that one, you might want to take the time and really give thought to where you're going, what it is that you're looking to do versus being able to yield to the Spirit of the Lord God, that God direct your steps, not just in his word, but in your each and every day. Today's lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse number 7. They run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their path. Well, some things never change, and I still enjoy the Amplified Word of God. In Isaiah 59, verse 7, Amplified reads as follows. Their feet run to evil, and they rush to shed innocent blood. Their thought, in parentheses, of sin, of injustice, of wrongdoing, devastation, and destruction are in their highway. Wow. If that's not a situation that needs salvation, that needs repentance, that just completely needs a do-over, I guess I don't know what it would be. The reason why the Lord shared this particular verse, as you listen to the word of God, it should clearly remind you of this particular day and time. Even, I would say, a focus on the young people, because now you're looking at people that have and that carry a boldness that goes above and beyond the measure now, that there's, to say God consciousness, that that seems to be lost. There's a boldness. And the thing that actually comes to mind for me, and I'm sure many others, as I listened to the way that this particular verse, meaning Isaiah 59 and 7, was constructed, was spoken, what comes to mind is reprobate mind. In other words, God has taken his hands off and have left those individuals unto themselves. Think about that. Romans chapter 3, verse 15 clearly says, their feet are swift to shed blood. 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. 17, and the way of peace have they not known. don't miss verse 18. And really think about this. No fear of God before their eyes. That's a really scary thought if you really stop and think about that. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. In other words, acknowledging who you are. When I say acknowledging who you are, we all know our disposition. We know perhaps the things that incite us, make us angry, make us feel something that is in the direction perhaps of something negative. But when you know who you are and you know whose you are, it's different. You begin to recognize the attributes of God. In doing so, you already know that God has you covered, period. You already know, in as much as God is, and God doesn't miss anything. God doesn't kind of see on some days, didn't see on other days, saw everything today, didn't see nothing yesterday. He might see something tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. Whatever it all is, not only does God see it, but God knows each and every last one of us well enough that God knows exactly what we will do, what we won't do, where our trouble is. And what I mean by that exactly, let's say where you struggle. Part of the reason why it is so necessary that we have an understanding, that we study the word, that we not just hear, we become doers, we continue to pray, we continue to lift ourselves up unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, I love this verse in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Verse 59 and 7 of Isaiah is a prime example of chapter 32 in Deuteronomy, verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, a group of people, several people, many people, a world of people. Neither is there any understanding in them. They're not trying to get this. They really don't care about this because they're doing their thing. They are just who they are. It is just what it is. It is just the way it is, how it is, as if to say they lack control, that there is nothing within them that represents restraint, that represents reasoning, an ability to reason, an ability to look at something and say, okay, this is going to be a wrong move here. I really don't need to do this. I really don't need to be a part of that. I really have no business here. I really shouldn't be a part of this over there. I thank and I praise God for who God is, and that God is dependable. God is our rock. We don't have to defend. We do need to trust. We do need to continue to believe. And even more so, we need to know that we 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 know who God is. Anybody thinking that you're going to continue to go on from day to day and you don't know who God is, wow, what a mistake. And you are very sadly mistaken. When you know who God is, you know you're safe in his arms. But by the same token, this is the day and time in which the word of God needs to be in our mind, our heart, our spirit. Needs to be there. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. God is letting you know, I've got it. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand. And the thing that shall come upon them, make haste. God has already commanded quickness, speed unto his word. If you know that in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and it was the same with God in the beginning, then you have understood that the word of God carries the same power level as God. They are one. They are one in the same. Without all doubt, in God's ability. You don't have to worry. Just trust and believe. But also, we should be reminded that in and through the word of God, God has already given us direction. I mean, let's stop and think about that. One might say, well, okay, how has he given us the rest? Well, God breaks it down in so many ways in reassuring us until there should be, I mean, you should be able to cast out all doubt in God's ability, meaning that you know enough, that you've seen enough. And if you're new in Christ and unto the salvation, unto the righteousness, oh, God is going to reveal some things to you. He's going to allow you to see some things, experience some things, because God wants you to know that God is everything that God is. It doesn't mean that you won't pass or be tested. It doesn't mean that at all, because you are going to be tested. Whatever you were doing prior to salvation, and when I say salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, making a decision that you want to lead and live a saved life. You want to lead and live a life acceptable unto God. You want to be in that number that is favorably entered into. You want to be received by God. Glory to God. Therefore, God has put all types of messages in the Word that not only are you encouraged, but as you pray the Word of God, you bear witness to the Word of God. And especially if you trust and if you believe God. We can look at Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, for example. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Like I said, God and the Word are one. Whatever God says that God will do, oh, God will do that and then some. God will do that and more. I don't know what kind of crazy you would have to be to serve a weak God. To serve a God that couldn't protect you, that couldn't care for you, that couldn't feed you, that couldn't provide for you, that couldn't heal you, that couldn't save you, that couldn't remove you from danger, that couldn't bring you out of sickness or just whatever the case may be. What kind of crazy would you be? I'm not serving a weak God by any means. I'm serving a full and complete God. I'm serving the everlasting God. Now, does that mean that there aren't measures that we need to take sometimes? An example would be we could even look at Ephesians chapter 6, and let's start at verse 10. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Well, one might say, well, okay, how do you stand strong in the Lord and be in the power of his might? Through the Word of God, through trusting and believing God and having expectation. I'm not one that's waiting for God to prove something to me. I know that the God that I serve is. I know that the God that I serve is more than able. I know that the God that I serve has already commanded the word concerning me, that I stay in well-doing, that I stay in well-being. But as with Moses, I have a respect for God. Though God is everywhere, and I can't say this enough, God is not everywhere with us. God is, in fact, everywhere. But God is not everywhere with us. So what did Moses do? It wasn't complicated. It wasn't anything over the top. It was very, very simple. If you go to Exodus, the 33rd chapter, Moses just simply asked. And we can start at verse 13. So this is Exodus 33 and 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, and this is Moses, and he's speaking, he's praying unto God. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, if you are not with me, if you are not with the people that you sent me to free, because at this point Moses was sent to free the children of Israel, move them away from the hand, the evil, the ignorance, Pharaoh. So Moses is saying, okay, God, if you're not going to be with us, don't let our feet be placed anywhere that you are not with us. I don't care if I'm going to pay rent, going to get groceries. I don't really care what it is. I'm asking God. Okay, if today is not the day for this, and you know, there's some sort of danger, oh, please tap me on my shoulder. Please let me know now. And let me know when we need to go. Everything we're looking to do, every place we want to be, everything we want to go be a part of is not for us to be. And there are a lot of things that sound good. And it's not good for you. You're going to find that there are more and more people that are in a reprobate state of mind. God is taking God's hands off of them and have turned them onto their own way, whatever the heck that is and whatever it consists of. Meaning that they're liable to, willing to do any and everything. But if you know the God that you're serving, and if you have taken the time to get some understanding about this word that we have before us, this opportunity to master, to go above and beyond, to accomplish, to hit this home run, then you know how to be still. You know how to move. You know how to speak to God. You know how to pray unto God. God has already more than told us, more than expressed, more than given us ammunition. Psalms 91 is a prime example of that. And the word says as follows, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. In other words, I recognize that I don't have to be unto myself. I don't have to be by myself. I don't have to try to figure this thing out. All I got to do is pray the word. Ask God to move on my behalf. Ask God to protect me. Ask God to keep me safe. All I have to do is do what God does, command the word, believe the word, trust that the word is going to do what the word says it's going to do, that the word is everything that it says that it is, and that it carries power. Glory to God. I hope this is helping somebody, because this is the understanding that we need. With each day that goes by, if you just listen, more and more craziness, chaotic, confused people, people that act as if though they've never been taught anything, they don't know any better, and they're just doing all kinds of stuff, and they could care less. But when you know who you are and whose you are, then you have an expectation. You want God to direct your steps, not just in his word, but in your each and every day. You want to be covered by God. And even when you think in terms of our Lord and Savior being crucified, oh my gosh, the power that's in the blood, the power. You can go back to the word. When Jesus Christ gave up the ghost, the word of God teaches us that the veil tore, that the earth began to quake. There was something happening there. And I've made mention of this before, when light giver, Lucifer, the devil, fell from grace and took angels with him. Well, not only was it a sad day, but there were some things that happened there. The adversary that looked unto God laughed, knew it had defiled the kingdom, told God, yeah, I messed some things up around here. Yep, and I did all this on purpose. And you need a blood sacrifice in order to clean up this mess, because the adversary knew God was a spirit, just like it was a spirit. So when Jesus Christ was crucified, go back to when Mary was looking for Jesus. The angel rolled the stone away, let her know that our Lord and Savior was gone. Jesus showed up behind her and said, Mary. She got ready, and her body language was that she was moving toward him to embrace him, to touch him. And he said, no, 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 no. He said, you can't touch me right now. I haven't ascended unto the Father. Jesus Christ was the blood sacrifice. I can't say this enough. If the adversary had known that Jesus Christ crucified meant kingdom of God, the kingdom in heaven would no longer be defiled but cleaned up, because Jesus Christ was the sacrifice, Jesus Christ would be walking around here with us. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is still God. God is everything that God says God is, and we need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to be able to see that. We need to chew, meditate, spend some time with the Word of God. Allow God to minister to us. Allow God to enter us into revelation that we're able to see above and beyond the measure of whatever it is. God tells you in Psalms 91, verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." We need to be asking God to command the angels that he's given charge over us with each and every day, so that whatever it is that God will have us to do, wherever it is we need to be, or whatever it all is, that we get that unction, that we get that nudge, that our steps are being directed, not just in the word, but in our each and every day, that we don't go to the left, we don't go to the right, but we stay in that place that God would have us to be, that we're in well-doing and in well-being, that God continues to take care of us, that in as much as we ask, done. And there are a lot of times that even if we haven't asked, the blessings of the Lord continue to show forward, continue to show up at us and for us. And God is always loving on us. God wants us to make it. God wants us to be everything that God will have us to be. God wants it to happen for us. But what's even greater is when we want it to happen too, when we have interest, when we even look at this word and we speak verses such as what is found in Psalm 90, verse 16 and 17. "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And let and establish thou the work of our hands upon us," rather, "the work of our hands, establish thou it." Those that have been left reprobate mentally, these are not people that were seeking ye the kingdom of God, God's righteousness, that all else could be added unto them. No, it's more like they're doing their thing, whatever that is, whatever it turns out to be, whatever it consists of. And more than half of it, based on some feelings and whatever it is that they think it should be, versus what God would have it to be, as if to say they're having some kind of or some type of tantrum. It's not about God, it's about them. It's about what they want. It's about what they need it to be. Well, the good news is simply this. And, you know, whether one wants to adhere, have an understanding, know that they know take the time to learn something more. Take the time to get a greater understanding. Well, whether you choose to do it or not, still remain. 2 Timothy 1:9 teaches us that we're not here about us. 2 Timothy 1:9 simply says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy call? Yeah, we're called, but we're not called any old kind of way. The word of God says he's already saved us. In other words, I've spoken salvation unto you. And if you tune into my spirit, if you take time and you meditate on me, if you take the time and you think about me, if you take the time and you seek me, you're going to find yourself, find your way to salvation and righteousness. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling. Okay, let's not miss this. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God spoke everything before the foundation of this world, because we're here to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If we continue to follow, continue to believe, continue to trust, continue to know that we know that we know who God is, God has already spoken everything about us, concerning us, aforetime when God was in the spirit of creativity. If each day is equivalent to 1,000 years, that meant that God spent 6,000 years in creativity, because on the seventh day, he rested. The only thing that God does now is keep watch over the word and command the word. It was all done aforetime. So we don't have to thank God for what he's doing, what he's going to do, what he doesn't know. It's already been done. So we can thank God that it's done, but it's not a he's going to do it. Instead of he's going to do, the appropriate wording would be and would go back to God's timing. Whenever God spoke, whatever it is to perform. And it's not necessarily when you think it should be. Is when God will have it to be, that it's going to manifest, that it is going to rise up, that it is going to walk out of the spirit, be brought to fruition, that we bear witness in the natural. That's how that works. It's not a Houdini move or any of that. It's about an appointed time when God spoke it. It's about what God told it to do. Everybody that is born, God spoke us particular time frames and so on and so forth. As we look at the word of God, and like I said, Deuteronomy 32 and 35, clearly lets us know that we don't have to walk, entertain a spirit of worration it's a done deal. And the more that you know about the attributes of God, the greater it'll be for you, and the greater your experience will be, and the better you learn to yield to the Spirit of the Lord God, meaning letting God have God's way concerning you with your life. Our lives are in the hands of God. Stop and think about that. Our lives are in the hands of God. Part of the reason for this word is that we not just get acclimated, but learning to trust God, knowing who God is, knowing that God is everything that God says God is very important. I'm going to read another verse to you out of Isaiah. Let's go to the 45th chapter. And before I read this verse, I'm going to read a couple of other verses from the 45th chapter of Isaiah. Let's look at verse number 2. The word of God teaches you and I will go before thee and make the crooked path, the crooked places, rather, straight. I will break in pieces the gates of wrath and cut bars of iron. Verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Don't miss that. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou may knowest that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Verse number 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, all these things. What is the point? Inasmuch as God has God's hands in all of it, isn't it best to leave it all in God's hands and begin to do even as God does? Speak the word, command the word, have expectations unto the word. God, I know that you are the God of my salvation. I cast out all doubt in your ability. I know that you are the Most High God. I know that you are the everlasting. I know that there is none bigger, none greater, none more powerful. Even in your word, God, you said, if there is another God, I never knew him. There's nothing that stands behind you, in front of you, or on either side of you. Ah, glory to God. All of that being said, I cast out all doubt in God's ability. I'm not trying to figure out that God is mighty. I know that God is mighty and all powerful. I know that God is everything that God says God is. And even unto us, God has given us power. Didn't God tell us that? As a matter of fact, let's take a look at that see, what is that? Let me see if I can find this right quick. Is it Luke, the 10th chapter, maybe? I don't remember. Let me see here. Yep. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Uh-oh. We might need to take a look at that again. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Not only did God, and don't miss this, really, I mean, who really take this in? Really get some understanding, you know, lean back and open yourself. Not only did God empower evil, but God empowered you. And he says, behold, I give, as a matter of fact, this is in red, okay? When it's in red, who's talking? Who's speaking? Is it not our Lord and Savior speaking to us? Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Doesn't he say, fear not? Be not dismayed. What is that? That's in Isaiah 2, isn't it? Like Isaiah maybe, I don't know, 41 or something like that. But letting us know that what we really need to do is to trust him. See God in all God's splendor and glory. Know that every word that you read unto in the word of God has life, has power. There's a movement. There's an instruction given. There's a commandment there. And the word of God doesn't fall short. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. It didn't say some weapon won't have power, won't be able to do anything to you. He said no weapon formed against you, period, shall prosper. It's not a question as to whether it can be, whether it will be, whether it is, maybe. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, period. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. Yeah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What is God telling us? I'm that one. I'm the final say in all things and in everything. But then I still have the same question that I ask. What do you really believe God to do? How big is the God that you serve? How much do you really know about God? Do you really trust God? And as I pose these questions, don't speak to anything that you're not prepared to be tested about. Okay? Think about it. Imagine those that perhaps have walked in their bank only to find themselves at some point in the midst of a robbery or walked in a convenience store. And there, you know, somebody decided to pull a gun. They want the cash in the drawer. Wouldn't you venture to say that somebody's faith, perhaps how much they really believe, and what are they going to say unto God? Are they going to speak peace to that storm? Imagine some individuals that have survived plane crashes, that survived sinking ships or whatever the case may be when it comes to extreme harm and danger. I mean, imagine that. Imagine. Very interesting. We don't ever know how we're going to be tested. But you can rest assured that we are tested in more ways than one. But when you know who God is, and when you have understanding about the God that you're serving, then you know that God will protect you. God will keep you. God will become whatever God needs to become for you. God lets you know that. God says that God would never leave you nor forsake you. You can trust me. You can believe me. You can know that you know that you know that you know that you know who I am. You can see me in all of my splendor and glory. You can praise me. You can glorify me. You can lift me up. The greatest thing, the best thing that we could ever do in lifting God up, in God having a smile, in God having comfort, God having a peace, would be through obedience. The word of God teaches us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is very clear in our being able to understand that God has an ability to take care of us. God is not going to leave nor forsake us. It doesn't mean that everything that you ask, everything that you want, that God is going to do. Sometimes the answer is no. And that's just a fact. But then, if you're a parent, or if you have exampled leadership over different situations, or perhaps you have children, sometimes your answer is no. sometimes you may see a danger that they are not able to see. Therefore, you say no. It's not that you don't want them to have. It's not that you don't want them to do. It's not that you don't want them to enjoy. That particular thing just isn't the thing to do for whatever reason. Glory to God. Think about it. So the word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. In other words, even the word of God can discern your demeanor, your thoughts, your actions, what you're all about. Don't forget, again, the word of God carries the same power levels that God carries. God and the word are one. God and the word are one. In verse 15 and 16, and this is Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the word of God says simply this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 14, this again is Hebrews, the fourth chapter, simply says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And verses 15 and 16 attest to that, that yes, though he has gone into the heavens, okay, he still hears us. He's still with us. He is still of and for our protection in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Prayerfully, someone is getting this and understanding this. Because the bottom line, and I can't say it enough, we need to know that we know that we know that we know who God is. When you know who God is, even in the face of the craziest, whatever it all is, you have expectation unto God. And you're talking to God like you're expecting to move, and you're waiting for the result. You're waiting for God to do what only God can do. Because that's the kind of life you live in. It's all about God's next move. It's all about the movement of God. It's all about glorifying God. It's all about being obedient unto God. It's all about praising God. It's all about lifting up the spirit of the Lord God, trusting God, having an expectation that the outcome, that God, that it, whatever the best outcome is for the situation, that's what God is going to do. Glory to God. Does it mean that you always like the circumstances or whatever it is that has happened? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Not at all. But God does clearly tell us that if we have entered into his rest, in other words, if you trust me enough, if you believe me enough, and if you know enough about me that you have understood that I'm all powerful, then you have entered into my rest. And I love this. This is still Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And don't miss this. Because verse 10 says, for he that is entered into his rest, he has also, or rather, he also hath ceased from his own works. And don't miss this. As God did from his. What is verse 10? Verse 10 is actually proof in and through the word that God spoke everything aforetime, that God spoke everything before the foundation of this world. Because, again, we're here to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We want to become fervent, effectual, as we pray righteousness that availeth much. As I look at these different verses, what is this teaching me? How to speak those things that aren't as though they are, so that whatever it is that I'm standing in the need of, not only do I have an expectation unto God, I know what I need to say to God. Because God react. God is a keeper of the word of God. Glory to God. So we must not forget these things. And again, God said that God ceased from God's own work. In other words, it's already been done. All we have to do is speak the word and have expectation. We're living in a day and time in which the reprobate mind, meaning that the mindset of those that their feet run to evil, all you have to do is listen to the news, and in some cases, I don't know, you may actually be right in the middle of such sheer, utter, just evil, ugliness. Not that we want to call ourselves unto something like that, but there are things that happen. There are things that take place. You may go to a ball game and someone who is out of order, someone that is reprobate mentally shows up, and what do they have? Something to hurt people. So the word of God, again, and this is Isaiah 59:7, their feet run to evil, and they rush to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of wickedness, of sin, of injustice, of wrongdoing, devastation, and destruction are in all their highways. Every path that they take, every step that they take, they're moving, they're rushing unto sin, unto a sinful nature, unto sin in their ways. And that's what it is and where it is. But when we cast out all doubt in God's ability, we're even praying up those places that we need to go into. Glory to God. And we have a consciousness that we need to consider those things. that in as much as we don't want to be anywhere that God won't be with us, we don't want to lack the power of God to be present wherever we are. Glory to God. The word of God, and I haven't forgotten about the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and I'm there now. The word of God says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And God gives us a commandment. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wile of the devil. God wants us to be empowered. God wants us to have a consciousness, not just about God, but about the word of God, the words that have been spoken, the words, the power, and everything that God has said. God said we will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That, hello? Isn't this what that would be? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able, God says, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Glory to God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. We need to recognize verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Glory to God. We need to think on these things, and we need to be clear. In this particular day, in time, we need this word. We need all of this word. We need to be able to speak those things that aren't as though they are. We need to learn how to command, how to call out of the Spirit that it is brought to fruition, that we bear witness in the natural. We need to be thankful for this word. We need to be thankful that God so loved the world that God took the time to speak these things that we have access, that we are in control from the standpoint of the word of God. Trusting God, knowing that God is everything that God is. Glory to God. And we don't ever need to forget that. God is mighty. God is all powerful. And God has given us everything that we need to live this life, to live life, to go forward, to know that we know that we know that we know that our feet are shod. Glory to God. God has given us what we need. All we have to do is seek it. All we have to do is trust and believe. All we have to do is know that we know that we know that we know. Verse number 3 of Psalms 91 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Expectation, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. God goes on to say, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Glory to God. God is more than telling us that God is with us. God will direct our steps, not just in the words, but in our each and every day. But we need to be conscious. We need to make some decisions. We need to have our mind made up. Psalms 34, verse 19 simply says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all, out of one or two, not out of this one here, and oh well, we're not going to deal with that there. No, that's not what the word of God says. The word of God says God will deliver you out of them all, whatever it all is. I have an appointed time. I haven't forgotten it. I saw it. I was there. I know what happened. And there's not anything that takes place that God doesn't know about, but it doesn't lessen our responsibility to interact with God, to make ourselves available unto God, to pray unto God, to praise God, to know that God is everything that God is, to trust God, to believe God, to have expectation from God. We need to continue to lift up the word of God, know that God is everything that God is, 4:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. Verse 39 of Psalm 37 says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, time of trouble. Think about that. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Man, and behold, the upright for the end of that man is peace. Glory to God. The end of that man is peace. There are a lot of things that we just don't have to do. The word of God tells us in Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, if they were going to listen to you, if they were going to do what you tell them to do, wouldn't it be done by now? I mean, really stop and think about that. Really look at that. When you think in terms of criminals, and don't miss this, those same individuals already know jails and prisons exist, laws exist. You might, I don't know, be sentenced to death. You're not necessarily going to be sentenced to jail time or whatever. They may just say, hey, take them on up out of here. And it's interesting when you think about the fact that all of these ways and means to deal with criminal activities have already been spoken. They're already in place. And yet these people go marching off to craziness. What does that tell you? Reprobate mind, no longer in control of self, didn't take responsibility for self. Just whichever way the wind blew, whoo, there they were too, period. That we have a God consciousness, that we know who God is, and that we love God, that we respect God, that we lift up the name of the Lord. And even if we fall short of the glory of God, we know to repent. We know to accept responsibility, seeking ye the kingdom of God, God's righteousness, that all else can be added unto us. That we take the moment that we need to take in knowing that we need God to pick us up, turn us around, and place our feet on solid ground. We have Psalm 51, which is a prayer of and for forgiveness to help us in getting ourselves together before God again, that we can be in our rightful place, whatever that is, whatever God will have it to be, and continue in the way of the Lord. I want everybody to be encouraged and just take a moment, and that we all just
Apostle,
repent.
Apostle.
Yeah.
Apostle.
Yeah.
I'm over here running, but if you can go ahead and do the prayer of salvation, it'd be great. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to lift up the name of the Lord, like I said. And now we're going to God to forgive us of sin, that we are able to step in our respective place, even unto salvation, unto righteousness, that we are in a position that God can use us. God can bless us. Lord Jesus, please come into our lives. I recognize I am a sinner. I come to you asking for forgiveness of my sin. I confess in my heart and speak with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ as the Lord of my heart, my soul, and my life. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I praise you for making a way for me. I declare by the blood of Jesus, oh, by the crucified blood of Jesus, that I am saved. My heart is open. My life is yours. And I pray you continue to reveal your love to me by your Holy Spirit. Have your way in my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, the only thing that you have to do now is be baptized in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by the grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts 2 and 38 simply says to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And so you need to find a Bible-believing church, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, and we give you thanks. Apostle, back over to you. Apostle. Praise.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, I've been working. I've been working out here, you know. I'm working out here. But Father God, we thank you and praise you for the word that you've given us today. And thank you for the servant that had an opportunity to bless us with an uncommon word today. We ask you, oh God, now to open the window, the door, and the gates of heaven, Lord, and replenish all that she has poured out, oh God. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Well, the line is open for anyone that want to come on and encourage the woman of God.
Amen. Okay, we working hard, huh? Well, if there's not anyone that has anything that they want to share, we can move forward and we can close out.
Enjoyed the word, made me think, to and also write, and thank you, and ponder. Amen. God bless you all.
Okay. Is this Evangelist?
Yes.
Evangelist Sheila, how are you?
Fine, and you, Apostle Clay?
I am doing pretty good. God is good all the time. And we definitely need to stay encouraged in this time and know that God is everything that God is, okay?
Yes, there are entities that come against the knowledge of God, of who he is and what he's done in our lives, that, and also try to sway us otherwise, that their way is the right way or they know the way. One of my neighbors moved to, I didn't know she was, she's a minister, but I didn't know what faith. So she was telling me at a seminary outside of San Francisco. But anyway, she either moved or is moving. And she says she goes in and kind of deals with churches and their business. And came to me, a lot of different thoughts came to me. But in the laundry room, someone left magazines about called Tricycle about Buddhism. So, because, you know, I didn't know she was a believer in terms of a Christian. I never could sense that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get to witness to her, but I told her I've been ordained, and we were just talking, but we didn't talk long. And she was telling me about this scholar of the Old Testament who's fantastic. But I don't know if she left those magazines, but I just pray that she finds Christ in her journey. Like I said, I don't know if she left that magazine or not. Because, you know, people do have different faiths. And one of the things is not putting other people down, but to share the gospel and to know when to go in and when to come out. That's a challenge, too. But I had to learn how to, I'm learning how to lean on the Holy Spirit to guide me. And then matters of the heart, those are the difficult ones as well. But then it comes to where the rubber meets the road. Choose you this day who you will serve, especially if someone's trying to sway you differently on a personal note. So I enjoyed the word because you talked about the goodness of the Lord. You also talked about the life in Christ. And I had just about not even a month read Isaiah 45 of Cyrus, because I remember they were liking President Trump unto Cyrus, and I pondered that, you know, because Cyrus is a type of leader, and a lot of people sometimes they teach the word, but they teach it in context with and out of context, because you got to really study to see who this type is. Like Cyrus the King. We have this class on this scholar in the book of Isaiah, and she taught. I bought her a book because you got to know the background of what was happening. Right. I didn't know that Isaiah was, his mission, his calling was to kings. I mean, he prophesied, yes, but his calling was really to deal with the consciousness of leadership. So, you know, but nevertheless, besides that, the word is to deal with our consciousness too, you know, because he, she dealt with the issue that, okay, there's the story goes on, and in the middle of the story, the prophetic word comes forth that Jesus is coming, and this is who he will be, and this is his birth. So you're like, wait a minute, there's a twist here. So I also like what you said about the 6,000 years and the 1,000 years. And one of the things that we're getting a revelation about, and some have already had, you know, we say Jesus is coming, and we put it in the whole context of eternity. But it's mm-hmm. also in the context of our life. When mm-hmm. I'm looking at the newspaper and I'm throwing, you know, I'm using it for cat litter, and then I hit the obituary, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I look mm-hmm. at it, and some people die 20-some years old, 40-something years old,
mm-hmm.
know
mm-hmm.
when our last day will be. And this word is saying, in our life, what will you do about the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm not trying to preach it. It's an insight. It's a
mm-hmm.
question to us, our
mm-hmm.
lives. So I heard a lot
That's
in the message. Yes. Amen.
Amen. We got to be conscious, I'm telling you. And we need to look at what's going on. There's a woman that took all the children, I believe they were adopted, and drove herself and everybody off of this cliff. For what? Took everybody to their demise.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah,
That was a reprobate mind right there.
Mhm, mhm, mhm.
So yeah, people are leaving, and a lot of these children in the wrong hands of people, and you know, folks got all this craziness going on. They really don't believe God, and how are they gonna make it, and this and that. Oh my goodness. Okay.
You know another thing. You know, Apostle Grant has been talking about that a lot, as well as Apostle Calendar, about the crazy, crazy things that are happening right now. And
mm-hmm.
then the point, we too have to be careful, because
mm-hmm.
the enemy comes in so many ways, and you got to recognize him. He comes
yes.
smooth as silk sometimes. You just don't
yes.
know.
Yes.
You know, and then you got to, like, okay, let me put it like this. This is personal, but I'm going to say
uh-huh.
it also. Friendship, relationships,
mm-hmm.
strangers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Bishop said in New Orleans, my bishop, when somebody comes into your life, you better ask the question, who sent you?
Yes.
We
Amen.
Had a that came Sunday. I went to church.
Wait a minute,
for the first
say that again, because the phone cut out. You had a who?
We have a bishop. Oh, you heard
okay.
that? He's our bishop in New Orleans says.
Okay.
When someone comes into your life, you need to ask the question, "Who sent you?"
Amen.
And I went to church. For the first time since last year, and
mm-hmm.
At the end of the service, someone comes and she's looking for a Bible and she's in a frenzy, and I think she's a homeless person, but sometimes homeless people have homes,
mm-hmm.
and she couldn't. And I began to talk to her. They gave her a leather bound gold leaf Bible,
mm-hmm.
but something was said to me by another leader. Even the witches will use the word against you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, see, this person's spirit
mm-hmm.
was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to talk to them, because you can't leave your purse open, your office open anymore, or your private things are open anymore. You have to guard today, because
mm-hmm.
don't know who you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can say that again.
It could come beautiful in a wonderful package, but you got to listen to what they're saying.
Saying, yes.
Does it
yes.
line up with God's word?
Yes.
And then I'm done with this part. My pastor back in Boston...
Mm-hmm.
would not, they as a couple do not marry people unless they've been together for 3 years. I don't understand
mm-hmm.
that. I'm young. I'm in the flesh. Who want to wait that long? Oh, but now that I'm, that's another thing. I wasn't really ready for you, Apostle Clay. Sometimes I couldn't hear you. And
mm-hmm.
I had to mature into it because, nevertheless, whether I can hear you or not, you're called
mm-hmm.
by God. You're a chosen vessel for the Lord. Some
mm-hmm.
things take maturity. Some things take experience,
mm-hmm.
Growing into it. And we
mm-hmm.
receive different, you know, but one of the things I messed up on is I needed to listen. I
mm-hmm.
needed to see my role. I needed to
mm-hmm.
take time and see who I'm dealing with.
Amen.
So,
amen. And that's all of us. And that's the truth of the matter. Everything that wants to be good to you is not necessarily good for you. Not necessarily about you. Not necessarily cares for you. I don't care what they say. Okay? And we're living in a day and time in which we need to continue to speak the word. We need to lift up the name of the Lord. And we want the blessings of the Lord. We want the protection of God. We want the security. We want the safety. And we want to know that we know that we know that we know that we have those things. Okay?
I'm preparing for a message, and you caused me to write because the apostles that were chosen by Jesus
mm-hmm.
went through many, many trials. But
mm-hmm.
because they were chosen by God, the Lord already
mm-hmm.
knew what they would go through.
Right.
And he protected them because they were
yes.
doing the will of God.
That's right.
They had enemies. They were always like Jesus. They were always trying to figure out when they were going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But he picked time, you know.
Amen.
So, anyway, yeah. And also living the life of Christ. That's another thing. Apostle Callender talks about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
living. You can't just say
oh, yeah.
about it. So
that's right.
A challenge. But I heard a lot in the Word. I hear a lot in the Word when I'm listening a lot at all, when I am on, because
mm-hmm.
you talk about many things. So, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, thank you. Glory to God. God bless you, too. Anybody else? If there is
I heard
no
the word,
else.
But I heard the word, but I was so busy. I was so busy working. I got the air conditioner running and cooling. I mean,
oh, good.
In the man office. I'm back home now. You know, yeah.
He went from one extreme to the other,
I told my wife, I said, Lord, I took a shower before. I took a shower before I leave to go to that job. I said, but now I got to get in the shower. I got out the car.
Okay.
My car, I'd start my car before I go out, and the car will cool off because I don't want to go in the hot car. So I get in the hot, cool car, and I drove down the street. It's just about two, three minutes from the house. And I got there and the house, the car. And the moment I stepped out of the car, Lord have mercy, I was drenched. Water started dripping off my hat. I mean, I was so hot.
Wow.
I said, well, I got to work fast. I got to work fast and I got to work good. And, you know, it's better to make me a few hundred dollars and get back home than trying to make $600 before I learn the sum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I ain't going to fool around because a lot of people, when they work for you, they'll pick a all around. Like they don't know what they're doing because they're trying to get the time to run up so they can charge you more.
Yeah.
No, once I know the problem, I hear the machine, I know what the problem is, I'm going to take care of it and get with it. Charge your price.
I know what you mean.
I got him up and running.
Exactly what you mean.
But I'll tell you what the Lord gave me this morning, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
I like my message come, I like my topics come to me early, but you said the topic this morning, And when I when I put it in, the Lord says, he says, you have to be steady. So I said, this run, how, what kind of race are you running? And the Lord said, you got to be studying the race. You got to be persistent. You got to be continue. You got to continue in the race. You can't stop. You can't run and stop. You can't start and stop. He said, you got to be steadfast. And then he said, you got to finish. You got to come to completion. That's what ministry is all about. That's what That's what I got from the message. That's what he gave me. And then when you spoke, it landed with everything that every word he gave me. Because you have to run this race to complete. This Holy Ghost walk that we are walking is not an easy walk. That's why you got to be persistent. You have to be steadfast.
That's right.
You have to stand and match all the trials that's going to come. You understand?
Yeah.
Trials going to come. You have to be steadfast.
Oh, yeah.
Temptation going to come. You know, people going to harass you. People going to call your names that's not in the book, that your mama didn't give you. They can call your names. You think you this, you think you that.
Oh,
people
going
to say they love you when they don't. You understand? You got to be able to discern. You know, folks, I want to be with you because you're so fine. I just love you. You're so fine. You smell so good. Oh, I could do so. I'll take you to dinner every weekend. We will go to the movies. Just tell you, because guess what? That is to satisfy them, not to satisfy you. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you think that they want to be good to you. They want to be good for themselves. They want to be able to do what they want to do with you. Hallelujah.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But they're not concerned about you. The devil ain't concerned about none of us. You know what I'm saying? Neither is his agents. None of his agents
that's
is concerned about us. All they're concerned about is to hinder us from finishing the race. You hear what I'm saying?
That's
all the agents are sent for. To stop you. Hallelujah. To stop us. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's all they're concerned about.
That's right.
The devil don't care how good you're. How nice you smell, what type of cologne you wear, what perfume you wear, how much powder you put on your body. You care none about that stuff. You don't care what you drive. You care what you live in, where you live, how regularly you go to the mall. He don't care none about that stuff. All he wants to do is entice you to get you stop running the race. That's what it's all about, to get you stop running the race. And I like what you said, Evangelist says that God protected the apostles. Yes, he did protected them, but you know when you said it too, in so much words, when the time comes, he moved his hand. He removed his hand. That's why they went through so many trials. That's why they had so many encounters and confrontation with the people.
That's right.
Because when you walk in and you endeavor to walk holy, it's not going to be easy. And everybody that say they love you, that's why I said, Lord, help me to discern the spirit of this person. Help me to discern the spirit of that person, Lord. Lord, help me to discern.
Yeah.
Lord, I can't see all that's hidden. I know you see, so expose it so I'll see it. Guess what he's doing?
I know that's right.
I'm not taking nothing. The walk that I'm walking right now, I am not taking nothing at face value. I don't care who you are.
You
could have all the diplomas. You could have all the assignments. You know.
Yes.
You know, I don't care who you are. I'm not taking none of that space by you. I had a guy come on my page yesterday, and he's a little fat guy. They look like a rubber ball. You know, look like a little turkey. And he just said, "Who made you an apostle? Who called you to be an apostle?" He's trying to play. He's smart. He lives over somewhere in Louisiana. So he's from Louisiana. You know what? I didn't even argue with him. You know what I did with him?
This is
how the devil does. Because the devil wants to start a confrontation with you. Don't confront with nobody. Don't fuss with nobody. Just delete them. Get them off your page. You don't have to deal with them.
That's right.
Who make you an evangelist? Who make you a bishop? Who make you a pastor?
I know, right?
Are you living?
Isn't that
you don't have no heaven or hell to put me in. Who you going to question me?
Okay.
Check your own plank in your eye. You're trying to take my moke up my eye, and you got a plank in your eye. You know what I'm saying? I'm running my race. I mean, this mess is stuff. I got to go back and listen. Bishop Washington. Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't have a good night yesterday night.
Okay.
So pray for him. Pray for his strength. Pray for his health.
What did you just say?
I should pray for Bishop Washington. Happened to him. He just didn't have a good night, you know. Didn't have a good night. Sometimes we don't have good nights. Because when you're working for the Lord, the enemy will attack you. He will attack you in your health.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, God does not
tell me about
your health. Because he said, beloved, I wish above all things, not some. He said, I wish above all things. That's the heart of God. He said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So while your soul is prospering, the enemy is trying to hinder you. Your soul is prospering when you're studying the word of God, when you are feasting at God's table. Your soul is prospering. Not when you have a good job, not when you're driving a fine car, not when you got a beautiful woman or a handsome man. No, that's not when your soul prospers. Your soul is prospering when you're feasting at God's table. But you got to go to the table, the devil said, well, don't go to that church, don't go to that building, don't go to that line. Because the devil knows if you go to that line, you're going to hear something that's going to take you to another dimension. So his objective is to put something in each and every one of our hearts, our minds, to stop us from saying, well, you know what, I don't want to go there, cause I don't want to hear a pastor, I don't want to hear evangelist, I don't want to hear that bishop, I don't want to hear that pastor, you know. And there you go, because once you activate that thought puts you in the hand of the devil. He can turn you around just like a yo-yo. Just like a yo-yo. Yeah. He can flip you like a yo-yo, because that's all he does. That's why Paul said you got to cast down all thoughts and imagination. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. See, you got to bring the thoughts into subjection, into obedience. You got to bring to obedience to the knowledge that you know. What you know of Christ, you got to bring to obedience.
Amen.
You don't let something that's not, don't have what you have, control you. Do you hear what I say? You do not let something or someone that don't have what you have control you. Because the Bible says you are of God, little children. You have overcome them. Every evil spirit, every assignment of Satan, you have already overcome. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
When
we understand that, we have the victory. We have the victory. That's why we can run the race. The race is not for the swift, nor for the strong, but for those who endure to the end. You understand that?
Amen.
Not the strong person. Not the person who can run fast. The one who finished the race.
That's right.
The one who finished the race. I may not be as fast as you. I may not have the knowledge you have, but I have the understanding that Christ is waiting for me at the end of the race.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because he's right at the finish line. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? My God. That's a good topic this morning, though. That's a good topic. I was listening to you while I was working. I had my computer right on top of the air conditioner outside in the heat. And I was listening to it. Yeah. I was listening to it.
Well,
but,
it's something to think about, though.
Even if I go out to work and somebody is preaching, I still got to hear that word. That's how hungry I am. That's how thirsty I am. I don't care where I go. I don't care who preaching. I still got to hear that word because my soul cannot go one day without the word of God.
Yeah.
The Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
That's
so when I study the word, I don't study silent.
Yeah.
See, if you study silent, your faith is not growing. It may grow a little bit, but not like when you study out loud, because the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
That don't mean that you got to hear the preacher, but you got to hear. You need to hear yourself if you're studying.
Yeah.
You need to hear the preacher when the preacher is preaching, you know.
Amen.
Once you want your soul to grow and elevate in the kingdom, you got to listen to, you got to hear the word of God. And you got to hear it every day. Yeah, like my garden outside, I just went and looked at it, my devil, and I can't wait to see the tomatoes start to come out, them those branches, you know, come off the vine. And my lettuce and my basil and parsley and all that stuff is growing so nice, and I got the things to make, the spearmint and the peppermint to make our big tea. Man, I'm telling you something. Oh, I just looking at that stuff. She was just telling one of her friends, well, you know, she said, David, he got a garden. She said, garden? I said, a garden. He just got a little patio. He got a patio, and I farm up that thing, and I'm going to make another side of the patio. I'm going to make a long garden on the other side. And I said, I'm going to Home Depot and Lowe's, but not now because it's too hot. And I'm going to put some wood and make me another box, long box.
Another area.
And put that. I'm going to have all that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
You have to, man. If I was in an apartment, I would have me some stuff on in some little jars, you know, the little buckets. Not buckets to pick up the money. I know you're thinking with the buckets of the money now. Not the buckets.
No.
I'm gonna have my vegetables. If you get a place, you got to plant because things gonna get difficult. I'm telling you, it's gonna get difficult.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that they're putting in the food now, you're going to have to grow your own stuff. Like when I was home, we had chickens, we had cows, we had pig, we had goat, we had sheep, all that stuff. You know, you're going to have to grow your own stuff if you want to have healthy stuff. You know, if you want to have healthy stuff, because all the stuff, she called me last night, and I was down. I didn't hear the phone, and one, you know, Saturday she said that on the line. She said that her boss had a culture in a very derogative way on her job. You know, talking to her, and, you know, make her feel bad. You know, and she had to speak up. You know, and she said he come back and said that he was very sorry, apologetic. But you know, he went and had the vaccine, and now he's fighting for his life.
Wow!
And had the vaccine, yeah. And I said to myself in my spirit when she told me that, she said I need to pray for him. I said, yeah, I'm praying for him. But right in my spirit, I said what I heard in my spirit: you made a mistake messing with a woman of God, a child of God.
Yes, isn't that
made a
something?
Mistake. You know,
isn't
messing with a child of God.
Oh, need to stop. Cause God,
he's a young man. He's not an old man. Yet. He's a young man. He's a young man. And that's like it affected him. You know.
I prayed for
him last night and hoping that he got over and life, live and not die. But, you know, we got to know who we are and whose we are.
Yeah.
And the main point of matter is that running the race is that you have to make a decision to live for God. It's simple. It's no rocket science.
Oh, yeah.
You have to make a decision. And going back to Paul's message in the book of Corinthians, even when you want to do, Romans, book of Romans, when you want to do when you want to do right, evil is always present.
Always present.
You understand?
Yeah.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Why? You got it with you. You got it with you. You said, but I'm a Christian. You got it with you. That flesh you got. That flesh I got.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody don't want to hear the truth, but that's the truth. The flesh you got, the flesh I got, ain't nothing good in it.
Amen.
That's why Paul says, there's always a war going on inside of him, my flesh against my spirit. That's what Paul says.
Yeah.
That's the apostle. That's the one God chose on the way to Damascus.
Yes.
He said, he saw Jesus for himself. He got to see the light. And still he was going through testing in his flesh.
Amen.
So guess what? We're going to go through it too.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus was tested in his flesh. You hear that? You hear what I say? Jesus was tested in his flesh.
Oh,
if you don't
think,
look at Matthew chapter 4, and you will see it right there. He was tested by the devil. After he came off a fast for 40 days and 40 nights,
40
he was tested.
Yeah.
He was tested. As soon as he got off that fast, he was tested.
Yeah.
The Bible That's said the right. devil took him up in the wilderness and tested him. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I heard the same. He's going to give him anything he wants. You know, I said, okay.
Yeah.
You already know. You don't know who we talking to, right?
That's
it. I was like, what is that?
That's it. That's it. That's it. Something
else. I know, right?
He no joke, man. He's going to give you what belongs to you.
Okay. He's going to give you something.
He's already
had. Look, God gave you.
He's going to give you what belongs to you. You okay. can't give me what belongs to me. It belongs to me already.
I know.
That old joker.
That
bandit. You, evangelist, just keep your faith. Stay strong. Trust God.
Yes.
Depend on God. Rely on God. God is not like man that he should lie, and he's not the son of man that he'll repent. I'm telling you,
that's
that God,
right.
if God said he's going to bless you, he's going to bless you. All we have to do is continue in the race.
Yeah.
Stay in the race. God promised us. He said, I will give you the desire of your heart. That's what he said.
Yes.
What he said, I said, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Didn't he say
that's
that?
Right.
Didn't he say that? God said
he's
going to see you at the finish line. I'm going to see you at the finish line. Glory to God.
Amen.
And I don't want to get to the finish line and then he tell me, get over, go somewhere else.
I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? It'd be a sad thing if you come to the finish line and then he tell you, depart from your work of iniquity. I don't know
that's
you.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to hear that either.
My folk want to play with God. They can't play with God. In the church, they're still playing. In the church. I'm not talking about the building. In the body of Christ. I want to play with God.
Yeah.
Can't play with him. No, can't play with him.
I know.
You know.
And there's something.
And the people are playing with God and they're so caught up with want the stuff of the world. You know,
they want
the money, they want the lucre. The Bible talks about lucre. Lucre means money.
Well, he put
want
filthy
the stuff,
in
the,
front of
the,
it.
The material things, materialistic things, and the money, and all the high life. Well, well, you have it here. You can have it here or have it there. Which one you want? you understand what I'm saying? We can have it here, Apostle. We can have it here, Evangelist. Deacon, we can have it here or have it there. The choice is ours. Jesus give you a choice. Give us a choice. He didn't say you had to. He didn't say you had
That's
to come
right.
with me. He said, look, if you, you know, let me say, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have
right.
to take up your cross daily. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He said, if, that means that you've got a choice. You got a choice. You got to deny yourself.
New decisions.
Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me daily.
Yes.
He give us a choice. That is his contingency. You see, it's a contingency.
Amen.
You can say, well, I'm going down the road. Well, if I want to go to, if I want some fried chicken, I got to go to Popeyes or Kentucky or somewhere selling fried chicken. If I don't go, I ain't going to get no fried chicken. It's the same thing.
That's right.
If I want to experience the anointing, the glory of God, I have to deny my flesh. That's what he's talking about. Deny the things that I really think I want, but don't really need.
That's right. That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? The things I really think
absolutely.
I want, but I don't really need.
Really need.
Because as soon as I get them, I'm going
to
get frustrated because I realize that they weren't the things that I really want. You understand what I'm saying? That I really need.
Mm-hmm.
So as I get them, oh my! I'm talking about me though. I'm talking about me, man. I remember when I was out there and I was running the streets with all these women. I was out there, man. I said, she's so fine, man. I can't wait to be with her. I can't wait. I remember when I was in Washington D.C. and I was with this girl, light skinned girl, very beautiful girl. She had a nice body on her. Man, he be smoking that cocaine and stuff, and next day I know she says she want to be with me. I want to be with her, and I think, but man, I'm the apostle. Man, I'm gonna tell you something. I would regret the time. Yes, ma'am. Because I thought I really want to be with her, and my wife is back in Virginia. I wouldn't say that. I was a rebel.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But after all of
exactly.
that stuff, I said, I'm out here with this chondro, and I got a beautiful wife at home. And this don't even really fulfill my need anymore. Anyway, it's just what I thought I wanted. And once I got with her, I realized, man, it don't really fulfill my need. I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
Like when I'm with my wife, I said, my God. You know, and God brings these things back to your remembrance when after you have messed up and you get
that
saved.
Illusion.
God bring that thing back. You got
it.
You hit it right on the money. It's an illusion.
That's
you know, it looks good to you, but it's not real.
Yeah,
it's like walking
in
the desert. You need some water.
And
we call that stuff a mirage. You saw a mirage.
Mirage.
You think it's water. It looked like water. You go and jump down, you fall from the sand, hit the sand, hot sand.
That's
right. And if you don't make right, you might drop on a rock snake in call him a desert snake. And a mirage. You jump on a mirage, said there's water. No water.
Oh,
so that's the way it is. That's why we need to spread
but everything that
want to
be good
to
be for you.
That's it.
Like
that's
I said, right.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's what triggered my heart, my spirit when you say that to her. It don't want to. You said want to be good to you, but it don't want to be good to you. It want to be good for themselves. It's not good for you. The devil ain't caring about us. That's why I said that.
I was about to say, don't even care.
Yeah, he want to be good to himself.
That's what me, myself, and I do.
Distract you from doing what you're doing,
that's for me, myself, and I.
He confused on this, but I ain't saying nothing. I need to pray, apostle prayer, one of you or somebody pray for Bishop James Washington and pray for Apostle Stewart and Apostle Joyce Stewart. Pray for Sister Anna. Pray for Evangelist Campbell. Evangelist Sheila Tina. Pray for Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist Tina, Evangelist Sheila. Pray for Minister Andir. Lord, pray for Bishop if you got him already, pray for Deacon Fraser and his mother. I'm going to have her come on and bring a word pretty soon, one weekend or Sunday. She'll come on Sunday or Saturday. She'll come on.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. But pray for Sister Anna. Don't forget to pray for her. And the Lord is doing a great, great work. Pray for Evangelist Brown, Pastor Brown. Pray for Apostle LeGrand and her team over there. They're having revival. I don't know if Evangelist Sheila talked to you or told you about it. They're having revival all week, I think. She could tell you that more about that because I don't have to. Apostle LeGrand. That's the church in the ear. They're having revival this week on the line. And Saturday night, too, up to Saturday night. So you're welcome to go over there and fellowship. That's going to be a good time. Pray for them. Pray that God will move on in the services. Well, I think Evangelist Sheila going to minister one night. So she can tell you more about that. She can tell you more about that. Yep. And
Do me a favor. Send her my phone number because I meant to, you know, do that some time ago so we can connect sometime. And let's see. Evangelist Kim. Okay. Apostle.
You could give him phone number. You know, Apostle, I wouldn't have done that without your permission. I wouldn't have just pronounced without your permission. That would have been wrong. So, I could, Apostle, can you give them the phone number because I sent it to you via, also about the revival. I sent it to you via text, I think. Do you want me to give it out now?
You can give it out now because it's in my computer. It's in my computer on Messenger. I don't have Messenger on my phone.
Okay.
But you can give it out. You can give out the information now.
Okay. So the service will be Thursday, Friday, and Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I will give you the number, but so this is the phone number. Okay. And Apostle, will you give her my phone number? That's fine. Because I know how you are. You wouldn't do it without permission asking. So, okay, so the number, okay. Is 712-770-5581, and the access code is 473-532.
And that's Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
You're right, but it's Thursday, Friday, and Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. But on Saturday, it's 10 a.m. It's at the same time of your ministry in the morning on Saturday.
We come on at 12 o'clock on Saturday, though.
10 o'clock on Saturday. A.M.
We come on 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Blog Talk Radio come on at 12.
Right, that would be 1 hour. Yeah, because that would be 1 hour. Yeah, you're already on.
Is she coming on 2 hours before me? Because 10 o'clock her time is 11 o'clock my time.
Okay. So you're able to make it for at least an hour?
Yeah, a couple hours or so.
If you can, yeah. I do request prayer for, I'm going to just say HR, because he is taking a really difficult exam for to be a quality, he is a quality inspector, but he let his license lapse. And it's three exams. And this one is really a tough exam, and he's been studying. So, you know, the beauty of it all is that if we can, even in ministering or being a witness, we can still care. And I had to get over anger and a lot of other issues, and I get frustrated, but the thing about it is, I'm determined to follow Christ. Now, the other issue is that I want the best for this person. But this, I've been asked the questions, and I'm talking to you, well, both everyone involved, but Apostle, you know what this stuff is like. It's like being a welder and a pipe fitter at the same time, and this test is woof. You know, that, and that one part was $1,000, and the preparation was almost 700. So it's a hard, and it's three parts. There's two more exams. So I wish the best for this person in terms of, you know, it's their bread and butter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But HR has been a quality inspector for quite a while, but the license lapse, and then you know you got this educated population now. And I don't know if you all noticed this, but even in the middle of the pandemic, Caucasian people are working. I don't know if you all noticed.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting jobs they're not even qualified for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have someone I really care about that I worked with, And she left Macy's and got a job with this insurance company on a reception desk. And they asked her if she wanted to move up. And she said she didn't know any of this stuff. They told her, we will train you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. And I'm not speaking prejudice. I'm just speaking the facts of life and what's been happening forever. And with Trump, it's been allowed to happen more and more. And I'm not mad because of this, that, and the other. I'm just, you know, it's been brought to my attention, and I have been noticing that.
Your shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, wait a minute. Bishop Coleman also needs prayer. Bishop Coleman's sister's fiance died, and he was given a certain amount of time to live suddenly. And they're both military people, and the Lord led her to go see about her sister. And they did love each other, but he died. And so, yeah. So it's a lot going on, with people. I went to pick up my eyeglasses yesterday. They were adjusted for me again, and I went to pick them up. And the ophthalmologist, the one who deals with the glasses, her nephew just had a cancerous tumor removed. He is a twin, and he had heart defect. And then they found the cancerous tumor, and they removed it. But him and his mom have to go for treatments in different areas of the country. And she says he's a trooper, and his name is Caden. Caden McCullough, I have his name written down. But Caden, 3 years old.
Wow. Okay, I don't know if I got all what you're saying, but I guess somebody will still meet me. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace in the mighty precious name of Jesus, as humbly as we know how. We cast out all doubt in your ability. We know that you are that God. You are the everlasting God. You are the beginning and you are the end. You are the final say in all things and in everything. And it is only your report in the name of Jesus that we have interest, that we take interest. We lift up Apostle and Pastor Stewart in the mighty precious name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that you know from the beginning even unto the end whatever it is that they are standing in the need of. I ask that you continue to bless, prosper, provide, and protect them. Speak unto any physical ailment, any issue that stands before them in the name of Jesus, that according to the will of God is the best outcome for them in each and every way. And even all that are prayed for on this day, we are seeking the best outcome in accordance to the will of God. We know that you are not a man that you should lie. We know that though you have gone into the heavens, there is still nothing that gets above you, beyond you. You are still our present help in time of trouble. We lift up Evangelist and Pastor Brown in the name of Jesus, that you continue to touch, bless, prosper, provide, protect, expand their ministry in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And whatever it is that they are standing in the need of, even unto apostle and pastor, steward, in all cases, in every case. Let the anointing fall fresh in the name of Jesus as we cast out all doubt in your ability, knowing that you are mighty and all-powerful. We even lift up Sister Anna. We lift up Tina. We lift up Pastor Campbell in the name of Jesus. Lord, nobody knows what you know unless you share it. We cast out all doubt in your ability, not just asking that you direct their steps in your word, but that you continue to meet their each and every need in the name of Jesus. We even lift up Deacon Frazier and his mother in the mighty precious name of Jesus unto whatever the need is, be it that is healing, for health, whatever the help is in the name of Jesus, casting out all doubt in your ability, knowing that you have the final say in all things and everything, that you will show up and show out, even unto Bishop Coleman, unto HR, who needs you to direct his steps concerning the testing, the test that he needs to take in the name of Jesus. The 3-year-old Caden McCullough, his mother, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are that God, Apostle LeGrant, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are that God. You are the everlasting God. And we speak that the anointing will fall fresh unto each and every individual, even Evangelist Sheila, Apostle Callender's household, in the name of Jesus. Bishop James Washington, in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch him. Touch his body, mind, heart, spirit. Speak unto his flesh in the name of Jesus. The anointing falling fresh in the name of Jesus. Under the unction of my voice, Lord God, each and every person that has been mentioned, you were wounded for their transgression. Lord, you were bruised for their iniquity. And the chastisement, Lord, of their peace is upon you. And with your stripes, they were healed more than 2,000 years ago. I ask that you command the angels that you have given charge over everybody that has been mentioned, everybody that is standing in the need of. I ask that the anointing fall fresh, that they are stirred in their spirit, Lord God, that they seek you, the kingdom of God, your righteousness, that all else be added unto them in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will walk through house to house, room to room in the name of Jesus, that the crucified blood of Jesus from rooftop down past the foundation on the ground will wash, will cleanse, will purify in the name of Jesus in accordance to the will of God, that all is well, that everybody is in well-doing and being in the name of Jesus, that you have poured out your undeniable spirit, that you have created clean hearts, you have renewed right spirit, even unto those that were in the listening audience on today, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for those that have been renewed in the transforming of their mind, understanding that they're here to prove what is their good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, and they have been saved on this day in the name of Jesus. We ask that good health walk out of the spirit and be a blessing unto those that are standing in the need of it. We ask that healing I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's arthritis. I don't care if it's a cold. I don't care if it's coronavirus. I don't care if streptococcus, if meningococcus is existing, plus whatever else they have added unto that demon. We cast out all doubt in your ability. We know that they are washed clean from the crown of their heads down to the soles of their feet, and that includes my daughter who tested positive for coronavirus. If it had not been for you, Lord, who was on her side, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, glory to God. We just thank you for being that God, for being the everlasting God, that by your stripes everybody is healed. Through your love and kindness, you are a provider, and whatever is needed has been given. Whatever is amiss has been restored. Whoever is standing in the need of jobs, they have one now. Whoever needs to be healed, by your stripes, they are, more than 2,000 years ago. Whoever needs to be renewed in the transforming of their mind, you have already touched them in the name of Jesus. Whatever it all is, there is nothing new under the sun in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you for being the God of our salvation. We thank you for being our each and every need met, our way out of no way. We thank you that we're able to look unto the hills from whence our help cometh. And you have given, Lord, and all we have to do is receive it. And we receive it in the name of Jesus, giving you glory, giving you honor, and giving you praise, and just thanking you, Lord God. Just thanking you. Just thanking you. I thank you for that which I am standing in the need of by your stripes. I was here more than 2,000 years ago. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Rent is paid. House notes are paid. Car notes are paid. Electric bills are paid. Other utilities, be it that is gas, telephone, whatever it all is, be it that refrigerators are empty and need to be filled, freezers are empty, need to be filled, it is done in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for all things. We thank you for every blessing. And we count it on joy. We just count it on joy. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring. We thank you for all that you gave, that we have, that we are able. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray all things and everything. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Only one person that I need to pray for is pray for Prophetess Millie, her sister, is suffering with cancer.
Yeah, how is she doing?
Well, she's in and out, you know, so we keep praying for her. I pray for Prophetess Millie because she got so much on her hand. You know, she just lost a family member, and she got a couple more under the weather. And pray for her daughter.
Okay.
And pray for that. Pray for that. Yeah. Glory to God.
Lord, we just lift up Prophetess Millie, her sister, her daughter, in the name of Jesus, and all others who have been affected in some negative way in this time and in this season. Lord, we know that you are still a miracle worker. We cast out our doubt in your ability and know that there is nothing too big or too small for you because you're that God. There is nothing about you, Lord God, that wants any of us sick. If we're not feeling well, we don't want to do nothing. We don't want to go nowhere. We sure not trying to get up and hear no word. We're not trying to do none of that. So that is not your way concerning us. That is a trick of the adversary.
Yes,
that is evil doing unto everybody that has been spoken about. Lord, we bind up each and every spirit, demon, demonic force, assignment of all that is evil, all that is ugliness, all that is reprobate. Oh, my goodness, right here on earth. And we bind it. That which we bind here on earth, we bind also in heaven, breaking the chains and the ties that bind. And, Lord, we loose those broken spirits back to the pit of hell from whence they came, never ever to return, asking that their door be sealed, nailed shut, never to be opened again. And, Lord, we ask that healing walk out of the spirit that is brought to fruition, that we all bear witness in the natural. We ask that financial means walk out of the spirit. We ask that food, whatever people are standing in the need of, be it that is medicine, be it that is jobs, just whatever the need is, Lord God, that it walk out of the spirit, that they are open to receive it, that it is brought to fruition. We bear witness in the natural because you are an awesome, amazing, loving, and a wonderful God. You gave everything that you had, Lord God, that we have the opportunities that we have on today. And in Jesus' mighty name, just praying all things and everything, we thank you that people are healed now, that whatever it is that needed to be replenished, whatever needed to be restored, whatever is needed, even unto a mindset that allows HR to pass each and every test that's given, that he is requalified in the name of Jesus, that the reminder is along with that, that we do not miss time, that we have to go through this again. In Jesus' mighty name, praying all things and everything. Matter of fact, Lord God, Lord, wherever Sister Millie's sister is in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just see angels, just the floodgates have opened up in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you touch her. Is only you know how, in the name of Jesus, that you command everybody's angels that you have given charge over them to keep them in all thine ways, in the name of Jesus, that people are able to advance, they are able to be prosperous. Whatever the blessing is, Lord God, that you would have us all to hold, be whole, whatever it is, that we are open, that we are able to receive it. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray all things and everything. Amen and amen and amen. Lord, the spirit of restoration on Pastor Millie, renew her. Let her be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Let her be rested and not be weary in the name of Jesus. Let her mind be rested. Let the spirit of peace overtake her, the peace that passes all understanding, not as the world give it. You give unto her in the name of Jesus your peace. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray all things and everything. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for the word. Thank you for praying. Thank you for releasing that in the atmosphere. You know, when you was praying, I keep hearing in my spirit, all things are working.
What
all
a great
things
good.
Are working together.
Yes.
Oh, they're good.
Thank
because
you,
they love the Lord. I heard that in my spirit. All things are working for their good.
Yes.
And many folk are being healed.
Mm-hmm.
I just got an email from India. The oldest man in the world right now is in India. He's 124 years old.
Really?
Yep, 124 years old. And he is doing all kinds of exercises.
Mm.
I mean, he is doing handstand and lifts and all
Isn't
this kind of stuff he's doing.
Wow.
I said, Lord, God is so good. God is so good.
Yes.
You know, that we're going into a time as believers that we got to be excited that God is going to replenish the years that the locusts stole.
Have eaten. Yes.
And, they stole it. They eat it. And the pampa worm. They stole all that stuff. And the Garden of Eden, where the men of God lived for 969 years, God is going to return that to mankind, that they're going to live as long as God's, because he said there's going to be no more death.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to live for thousands of years.
Amen.
You know, there's going to be no more death. That's why we got to live life now to live again. I always say that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live again. If you don't live to live again, you're going to die, and you're going to die.
Because mm-hmm.
you're going to die now, and then you're going to die again. Because there's a second death. And the second death is worse than the first death. You know, so all this is in the book of Revelation. This is not something that I'm conjuring up. It's a second death. But, you know, you don't hear too many people preaching about that. You know, no one preach about that. And I'll preach about the second death. That's where you get condemned to the lake of fire and brimstone with the devil. You know, second death, where you'll be tormented day and night. There'll be no rest for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I want my soul to have rest. You see, I want my rest. So when my soul have rest, when your soul have rest, you know you're with the one that gives rest. You're with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I say, come into my peace, into paradise with me. Come into my joy. Lord Jesus, I'm looking forward to that. I'm not going to let anything or anybody distract me from entering into that. Nobody, no, anything. You can't buy it. You can't buy what I'm expecting, what I'm living for.
Yeah.
You can't buy it.
Yes.
No, I've enjoyed everything already. I've done everything already. So how can you distract me and tell me that they're going to make me feel better than what I read in the Bible?
He told me that he got a crown.
You hear what I'm saying? He said, I got a crown for you, son. I got a robe dipped in my blood.
My God, Jesus, have mercy.
When I even think about that, I said, my God, how can he love me so much, a wretch like me, to want to give me a crown and a robe and a ring on my finger and put shoes on my feet that Macy's can't sell. You can't buy them from Macy's. Not these shoes that
something?
He got. He's already prepared that place for us. But we got to live to go there. Can't just say, well, I'm going to church. I'm going to church and I'm going. You can't just say that. You got to become the church.
See,
the foolish thing that they did to us is that they tell us we're going to church. And we say, I'm going to church. They didn't tell us that we were the church. So we try to please the building. And then we act. You understand what I'm saying? You want to act the part when we get to the building. But
no,
he ordered that in the church in Pensacola. But he said, no, you have to be the church now.
That's
you
right.
are the church.
And I say that. I do say that. I tell people,
yeah.
people, you know, sometimes they ask certain, and I'm like, sweetie, I am the church. And I go
that's
on,
right.
you know, and keep it moving.
Oh, I'm the
and
church.
Some things, when you get in the habit of saying it, that ain't nobody but God is dropping
yeah.
those nuggets and things, you know. And so
and he
I'm,
wants
I'm,
to get it. He wants to get that. I got so strong on that now that I don't even talk about going to no building.
mm-hmm,
I ain't going to no
mm-hmm.
church, man. I am the church. And
starts
you
in
going
your
to
mind
church?
And your
I'm
heart,
the church,
right?
baby. I'm going to fellowship.
Yeah.
I'm going to fellowship
Amen.
With the,
Amen.
The church. But I'm the church.
Amen.
We are the church.
You know, that's right.
We have to change that thing,
yes,
change that thought that they have put in.
Mm-hmm.
They ingrained that in us from the Catholic Church, you know, telling that we the church.
Because mm-hmm.
they don't want you to know the truth. They give you a half-truth, and a half-truth is a
mm-hmm.
lie, you know.
Amen.
You got to pray to Mother. You got to pray to Mother Mary. No, Mother Mary can't do nothing for you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, that's right. Now
they
that kissing rings and care and all. Oh,
they
I
keep
know.
You in bondage because you praying to Mother Mary. But don't let you know. They know Mother Mary can't do nothing for you. What did Mother Mary tell the
right.
people? He said, told whatever he say. Remember at the
mm-hmm.
at the wedding in Cana?
Mm-hmm.
She told the right girls, he said, no, I can't do nothing. But whatever he say,
mm-hmm.
whatever, glory to Jesus. He got the power. I ain't got no power.
Well,
whatever
okay.
he said do, you do.
Yeah,
she
right.
put the thing, she
that's
put the
right.
finger right at him and said, look, whatever he say, you do. Whatever he say,
that's
do,
right.
you do. I can't do
that. Okay. And be glad to do it.
That's right.
Amen.
Sorry. I thank God for, you know, when you get, you find this brother always say, when you know better, you do better. You know, you
mm-hmm.
should do better. You know, but
amen.
If you don't know, if you don't know the truth, you're going to live in a lie. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to live in a lie. And
that's
I've
right.
been living a life a long time till I got to till Jesus found me in that crack house. You hear what I tell you? And he found me in that crack house and dragged me out. I knew that my life would never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I could go any place now. They could drink, they could drug, they could do all that stuff. It don't move me.
Mm-hmm.
It does not move me. Why? Because he has taken that away from me. I have
I
given it to
him.
Say, Lord, here it is. And that's what all of
mm-hmm.
us got to do. In order for
Amen.
The world to believe that we are who we say we are, we have to submit
yeah.
and commit. Submit
that's
and
right.
commit. You know?
Yes.
But I thank
Amen.
You so much for that word. So
really
let's
welcome.
Pray and close out. Deacon Fraser's on a letter row. He's busy today. People over there in Mississippi will be running over everything. They're running over everything. He's working like crazy today.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him one time this morning. I heard him six. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's working like, oh, my Lord, a young man working today.
Mm-hmm.
He
will
tell you when I hear him. Oh, possibly I want to say something, but I was so busy.
I was so busy.
Yeah, he gonna tell me I was so busy. I wanted to say something. I heard the whole word.
Mm-hmm.
I heard all this call the word, but I was so busy.
Somebody
wanted to be the busy, but they had no job. You know,
yeah.
You be thankful you got a job. You know what I'm saying? He get all
yeah.
excited, man. He get excited.
Yeah,
he's so busy. But I said, don't worry about.
Sometimes we have to learn how to look at stuff. Yeah,
that's
something. We have to
learn
how to
look at it. Thank God that you got a job because somebody want to get a job so they can be busy. You got
people.
I'm too busy. No.
Who've been doing all that complaining. They at home now.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how they're going to pay for stuff. Okay.
How they're going to pay like bill the water bill, how they going to keep food
it.
On the table.
Yeah. You got to worry about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they're trying to get a job.
I think I just heard Deacon Fraser. He just got break loose. Brother Deacon?
Hey,
I tell you, come on in. Come on in, Brother Deacon. I tell you, he tried to get break loose. He broke that doggone shotgun, Brother Father.
Okay.
He broke that shotgun. He broke that shotgun.
So Friday night, he'll be falling asleep on his line.
Deacon Fraser had his call. He broke that shotgun. He's like, I got to do something. He broke them shotguns. Come on in, Brother Deacon. He broke them shotguns, bro.
Yeah, it's funny.
Them shotguns couldn't hold him there, bro. Man,
that's funny. That is funny.
Come on in, Brother Deacon. You come on in.
Yeah.
So how you doing?
Yeah, we're all a blessed. Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord.
Amen.
Pray the Lord.
We just
thank God for today. I thank God for a word I heard today. I really truly enjoyed it today. I sit back. I was sitting back taking scripture down today. That's what I did. I sit back. That every bit of scripture down today, and that's what I did.
So you got them all this time?
Yeah, I got them. I got them all this time. Yeah.
You got them all.
Okay.
Yeah, I said, well.
The deacon got them all.
I said, well, I ain't doing nothing today. I'm sitting back. Sitting back with his fan there, with his fan is riding on me. I can sit back and take scriptures down.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the time to take the scripture. You know, that's just one thing. You have to take scripture. When you go back and listen to that in the message and make sure everything's on the scriptures are called out. So you make sure you have to write them down. You know, that'll be the times I couldn't be able to write the scriptures down, so he's right. I do be tied up. I do get tied up, but I'm still coming to pray the Lord. Still coming to pray the Lord.
Amen.
I'm coming to pray to God no matter what to say. What to say about it, I'm still going to pray the Lord. I'm still on my mouth and praise God. I'm going to praise
him. Amen.
I'm going to praise him. I don't want to rock the cry. I don't want to rock the praise for him. I can praise all by myself.
Yeah.
I can praise him. That's right. I can praise him. And if I tell you what, if you ain't got a chin, if you ain't going to praise him, well, guess what? What a rocker show, praise him. You don't praise him. That's
amen.
True.
Don't hinder you. I know that's right.
If you don't open your mouth, praise the Lord. If you don't open it, the rock will cry out for you. And that's right. That's the truth. That is true. We thinking something won't come to us. We being about it. There's one thing about it. We gotta tell God thank you. What God bought you from?
Yeah.
We gotta tell God thank you. What He bought you from? No matter how bad it gets. No matter how bad it is. We got to tell God thank you. Yeah, thank God for blessing us to see another day. Yeah, we have some. Thank God for the rain He gives us. We've been having rain on yesterday.
Yeah.
It started raining Sunday, and yesterday rain. It rained when I got off yesterday. Rained all day yesterday. But one thing about it, I realized one thing. We all not complaining about the rain because God sent us the rain. It's God's
right.
Plan, not our plan. Because God gave us the rain, and we ourselves come on
right.
August. We all are complaining about, oh, I wish it would stop raining. Well, it ain't nothing. Well, that's God. If you have a problem, you need to be one to get mad at God. Try to be mad because you said, you tired of rain. Oh, you sick of the rain. you tired of the rain. Oh, I'm tired. You're sick of the rain. You're tired of the rain. Well, that's God's plan. It ain't your plan. That's God's plan.
Okay.
We never satisfy what the Lord gives us. we complaining about? On our, we complain on our job. We complain all they sick of their job. Well, I tell you what, don't be surprised. You might, as they say, if you don't use what you got, you might lose what you got.
Yeah.
That's right. If you don't use,
amen.
If you don't use what you got, you might lose
amen.
Your job. We sitting up complaining. It's just like having a husband or a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't appreciate what God's seeing you. Well, guess what? God got something for somebody else too. If you don't
amen.
Accept what He is. If you don't
that's
accept
true.
If you don't accept
that
it,
is true.
So God got somebody else. God got somebody
in mind.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
We never satisfy what the Lord gives us. And we don't never appreciate anything what the Lord
mm-hmm.
gives us. But we all the time, we're not pleased, we're not happy with who we are with right now. Well,
okay.
You should never be with her in the first place.
That's
huh?
right. That's right.
If you ain't want her.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just being honest with that.
I know what you mean.
Same.
Either
how the way it goes. They always complain. They ain't happy. They gonna run to somebody else. Ain't up no good.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
as you saying in the script, sometimes we got to know we had to God going. We gonna be tested. We're going to be tested.
That's true.
We're going to be tested.
You will not live this life without tests. That is so true.
We're going to be tested. We can run around and think we got it all together and all our own.
Right.
Run around bragging. And run around boasting and bragging. What you need to be bragging to is to the Lord. As you need to be doing bragging to the Lord.
Amen.
So we keep it doing. Bragging to Jesus.
Amen.
That's what you need to be doing. Why we still want to bragging and boasting. Bragging to the Lord. One thing I always had it right. I ain't never always got together. But it's one thing. It's like the woman God always say. See, some of us, when we think we know, when we know better, well, we'll do better.
But
some ain't trying to do better.
Amen.
You got common sense. God give us common sense.
Yeah.
We can't use the common sense.
That's right.
What the Lord gives us. He give all
these
things.
Some people do like
and
it.
We came to use the common sense.
Yeah, some people aren't interested. You are absolutely right.
He gives us common sense. We came to use common sense.
And that's really sad.
We just take advantage of it.
Mhm.
We just take everything.
Yeah.
I look at my own, what I'm doing. I can't look at everybody else.
Right.
I gotta look at my own self.
Yeah.
It's like coming on this trust line. You ain't gonna get it here when you come on this trust line. You ain't gonna get it here.
Yeah.
And one thing about it, you when you come on this trust line, you come here, come and encourage someone and keep them encouraged.
Yeah.
Instead of putting their mouth on somebody, instead of saying something, instead, I'm not here to put my mouth on nobody. I come look up the name of Jesus. I ain't come here trying to fuck nobody. I ain't coming for that. Look, if I come in, I might be one gonna be accepted myself. If I saw you, I'm gonna be a one gonna be accepted. So I'm gonna accept my own self. It's like the Bible says, Book of James, I gotta examine my own self before I examine somebody else.
Yeah.
The old word says, take a look in the mirror to see what see what I see.
Okay.
So I look at somebody else. That's right.
Yeah, check your situation out. I know that's right.
A lot of us don't think of it that way. A lot of don't look at it. They don't see it that way. They don't look at it.
Right. A
lot of don't think of it.
I understand.
That way. A lot of us think they don't want to hear about the word. They don't want to hear about the word of God. They don't want anything about the word of God. I bet they can hear anything, but don't go around. I bet that they ain't scared what they do. You ain't scared. I bet they ain't scared. They ain't scared what they do, sitting around watching somebody else. No, they ain't scared of that. They not scared. So don't try to fool somebody.
Yeah.
They say that they scared. What you shame for? You ain't shame with Superman. Jack and Jill, you ain't shame or nothing. So don't be saying you scared. You scared about what?
They ain't all that scared, huh? Amen.
Okay, you scared, all right? Oh, okay. Well, don't sit around. Don't fool yourself. Don't let them fool you now.
Okay.
Don't fool yourself. You playing that role. They shame and they scared. Shame and scared. They scared to read Revelation. But the Revelation tell us that. What are we scared to read the Revelation for? Is in the word. We read every child but Revelation.
Yes, Lord.
The word God tell us that. In Revelation. But some of them don't want to preach about the word. In Revelation.
Amen.
And like we say in that scripture. It by tell us the truth, like the book of Matthew tells. St. Matthew tell us that, chapter 24. He tell us that.
Amen.
He tell us that. The word of God tell us that.
Amen.
The word of God tells us. He tell you gonna see some things. We already seen some things.
I know that's true.
But all this COVID going on, all of them running around don't want to wear their masks, and you know it's dangerous. It's still dangerous out there. You gotta wear your mask.
Yes, Lord.
So, some of them don't believe. They don't believe wearing their mask. I go in the store. I wear my own mask. I go in the store. None of them don't even wear their mask. Most y'all don't know where they mask. They ain't know you have to wear your mask.
I'll still be wearing mine after these shots, okay? Because I don't want none of that stuff. I do not want it. Because I know what streptococcus and meningococcus is. I know exactly what it is. Been there.
See, and it's still going. They still going on. I still see they still out there going out at that beaches and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how weird they made.
Yeah, it looks like a part of somebody's body count. Let this stuff go.
Same way is in Florida. Not with mm-hmm. that party. On the way they made it.
Oh yeah.
We know it's still a thing right there. We're not done with it yet. We're not done with it.
You absolutely right. I don't know why they don't know, but okay. But you're right.
They open up churches. I am the church. But we all mm-hmm. are the church. We all the church.
Amen.
The church be in your heart.
No, that's right.
That be in your heart. Number one, that's the number one thing. Church has to be in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. And that's why they open up churches back up, the theater back up, they open up stores back up. They open everything back up, the circus back up, everything.
They said they're gonna get their spring break and summer money.
Yeah.
That's what they said. They're gonna get their spring break and summer money.
Open up the museum. They open up everything. You know, I said when they open everything, they open up.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Academy Awards and Grammy Awards. Yeah, they open everything
uh-huh.
up now. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, they even have fans. Sports fans, they have fans everywhere. Fans, I mean basketball fans.
Mm-hmm.
They open up everything up. Where it be more fans.
I tell you,
yeah,
it's something.
Yeah, we still ain't done with it yet. We ain't
mm-hmm.
done with it. We ain't done with it. You know, if I was here, you know, I heard and said a man, young man lived to be 124 years old. You know, that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing to live to see 124 years old.
That's right.
You know, God keeping that man of God. God is keeping him.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no somebody from God keeping that man. Keeping in good
mm-hmm.
health.
I know, that's right.
God is keeping that man, that young man above.
That's true.
Some live to be 90 years old. Some live to be 100 years old. Still going strong. Still live to see. But I just thank God. I thank God for my mother and my father. I thank God for my mom, number one.
Amen.
She's still alive and well. Still going strong.
Yeah.
Still
Amen.
Alive.
I don't know exactly what you mean.
Celebrate her birthday this Friday. She be celebrating her birthday.
Oh, really?
She be born. She was born this month, month of June.
Mm-hmm.
Her birthday will be this Friday. My sister's birthday was on yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I know my eldest brother was the 4th of June, and one of my cousins was the 4th of June. Another one the 18th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that some God is still good?
He's good all the time.
Yes, he is.
When he keeps us.
I know that's right.
He's one of
them. Yes, Lord.
Some of don't even
say that again.
I know a man right now. I know man, 91 mm-hmm. years old, still driving. I saw him today. Man, this man come by him. I wave mm-hmm. at him every day. Man, he's 91 years old, still going strong. 91 years old.
Yes, a blessing.
Still strong. And he told me, he said, man of God, he said, man, I thank God, man, he's a man, I thank God, man, it's a blessing to be alive. I mean, amen, man of God, amen, you are so right. It's a blessing to be alive, to be another day. He was right when he told me that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing. We all have to thank God. He keeps our right mind. He keeps us giving health and strength in our body. Keeping us healthy. And he keeping our mind to think, our eyes to see. He giving us our hands to feel, our eyes, tongue to talk, nose to smell.
Amen. Amen.
He keeps us every day. Mm-hmm. That's why I thank God. That's when I thank God every day, no matter what they do to me, what they say, what you say about me, how you try to hurt me, how you try to assault me so bad, I'm still gonna pray. Lord. I'm still gonna pray. I'm gonna praise. Whether you like it or not, I'm gonna praise. Still gonna praise the Lord. I'm gonna still praise him. You might laugh at behind my back, but I'm still gonna praise him.
Amen.
You talk about me what you please. And you know, at the songwriter said, talk about me what you please. I'm still going to get my business and pray. That's all right. Don't I see Jesus? That's all right. I'm still going
to. Amen.
I'm still going to praise. I'm still going
to
praise. There's one thing about it. You can say one thing, hurt a person, but don't. Be careful what you say, because when you say, when you dig one ditch, you better try to dig two. But the one you digging might be digging for you, and that's the truth. That's what Book of Psalms say, and that's
mm-hmm.
right.
That is
the truth.
They say when you're digging a hole for somebody else, dig one for yourself. Or the one you digging for somebody else is really for you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's the truth. Yeah. But we better be careful how we mistreat folks in this day. So you don't.
We do need to be conscious of how we treat one another. That's true. That is so true.
Because you don't know.
People
we don't never know who help we might need. Because you don't, I don't never know. We all might not know. So next minute you see me down next minute. No, pull a person down. Guess what? The person you pull down, you might need their help one day. You might need their help.
That's true.
You might want to go need that person's advice.
That is so true.
Now we can sit up and put our mouth on a person, say something hurt your brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Don't you be surprised what might come to you? How you are
come to you? I know that's right.
Like I said about when you try to point four fingers, I got four fingers pointing at me. You got five on point right back at you. And that's true. We don't know that. We don't know that.
That's
we don't know
true.
Finger point right back at us. I never know four finger, five point right back at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. That is true.
Really, it is.
Don't see it that way. But we got to come on with this. Come on the other side and try to treat how we mistreat one another. So we got to, so we'll help us one another.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, only God can really can, just like you said, God can really can bring you out.
Hello?
Praising.
Huh?
Somebody was saying hello.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Oh, that might have been Evangelist Sheila.
Oh.
Praise
Hello? Him. Hi. Praise him. Hi, praise him. Hi. I just got a call, and we're trying to watch out for a scam when it comes to housing, because we still have to sell this real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was interesting. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Deacon.
Hello?
Yes.
Hold on.
Deacon.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thank God on the word. I thank God for what God is doing. I thank the Lord that I heard the message today. And I wrote all the scripture down. And I had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
This couple of them, go back and listen to that couple of what I missed.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I get everything right down. But mainly one thing, most all the scriptures wrote down. And I just really, we got to hesitate on the word. We have to get more understanding.
Mm-hmm.
More than
mm-hmm.
of his word. I just really, truly thank God for what he's doing. Pray God for you and your family. Thank God on the word what God is doing. He's doing excellent work in your life. He's doing excellent work.
Thank you,
Jesus. Work everyone's life.
Yes.
I thank God what I heard, and I really truly enjoyed it.
Amen.
You enjoyed what I heard today.
It's something we need to think about. I know that.
Really?
We need to be thinking about some stuff. Folks are crazy.
I guess.
Time to get life together.
I guess it'll really have to get back. I don't know when I can start back bringing the message when the,
mm-hmm.
When I bring the word. Sometimes you back, start back greeting.
I mean,
sorry about that. Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
We're in the day of scams and stuff, and person calls me about the house, and I'm like, "How did you get my number?" Yeah, I got a handwritten letter too, but. That's not my call to make, but everything I did here for my sister has to go through the realtor, and that's when you weed people out. So, amen.
Amen.
But, yeah. Because what they do is, am I interrupting the conversation? Because you all were talking, I think.
Deacon,
you all talking?
Deacon was talking.
Huh?
I said Deacon was talking.
I'm sorry, Deacon. Go on. Deacon! Where are you, Deacon Fraser?
I'm done.
No, I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to say, when it comes to real estate, money, or property, you got to be really, really, really careful. And like I said to this person, this is not my call to make. You have to go through my sister and whatever the procedures they're following, because especially, you know, it's a lot going on. Some of these real, these people, what they're doing, they're putting money down. They say they want to buy something. They come inspect. Then they get out of the offer. All right. So it's a lot going on in our world, as you know, and especially in our community, and people think they're slick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But I don't want to say the person is being slick. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know which way God's going to move.
This is true.
But you have to be careful. We thought we told them. They can't. They said, oh, no, because they're thinking about the time. But then she's saying that my sister just said to me, they are paying more money and gutting houses out. So, yeah.
Hmm.
We'll see.
Wow. Well, we've got that thing going on. Whatever it is.
Well, the black community, though, you know, it's going through a many, many, many changes.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Especially in the Midwest, South, you know, they always show these beautiful homes in the nice side, but there's other sides. And in our community, many, many, many places are blighted. As a matter of fact, they have a show where they were showing these two Caucasian men working in the black community of Detroit. But the money they got to pour into the house, you got to really evaluate what you're asking. Is it reasonable because you think the value is this? Because the reality is they're dealing with the geography of the community. The materials they got to pour into it, is it going to be worth it? So we, on the other side, have to be realistic. So that's just my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well,